Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com. There will be lawsuits. There will be legal challenges. Joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News is CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Good morning, Thane. So what type of challenges can we expect to see or hear?
Well, Vince and Eric, there are a number of things. Well, first of all, remember, more than half the country votes by absentee mail-in ballots. And there are many rules associated with that, including for those of people in Milwaukee, and in Wisconsin who already voted. There's an envelope that needs to be sealed within another envelope that needs to be sealed in most of those situations of mail-in balloting. There's a whole series of information that you're supposed to provide in order to verify who you are. Some cases you don't have to verify who you are. It needs to be dated properly and signed properly. There are issues related to late arriving ballots. There are issues in whether they get counted. There are issues related to ballot harvesting where they get picked up, such as like mobile drop-off points. So my guess is that if there are lawsuits, many of them will have to do with election workers that saw irregularities in the way in which the mail-in ballots were treated. Now, this happened 4 years ago, and all those cases got dismissed. The term of art was often used by almost all the judges. They said, there's no evidence of widespread fraud. The problem there is the word widespread, right? Because what they're saying is, well, we can see there's some technical problems and there were some statistical irregularities, but we don't think it would have made a difference. Now the question is, since both sides will be very lawyered up, will the courts actually think that some of these technical problems won't make a difference?
Something interesting that you would find interesting from Wisconsin, Thane, I don't know how closely you looked at it in 20, but one of the lawsuits that made it from the Trump campaign all the way to our state Supreme Court, the high court, instead of ruling on the merits of the suit, told the campaign, we cannot provide for you the relief that you seek. Can you kind of explain what that means in legal terms? They were looking to basically overturn the election result in Wisconsin.
Right. So the judges in those cases are saying, look, we don't have the authority to overturn an election. We don't see a legal reason that we can identify in Wisconsin law that, based on the facts that you're showing, demonstrate either that the voting mechanism was unconstitutional or that there's some Wisconsin statute that was violated here. I remember that. A lot of the courts had similar language. It didn't mean anything. What it meant was the following. Some judges were actually more honest. When they said legal relief, they said, I cannot provide you with the extraordinary legal relief that would be required here. You know what they meant there? I will simply not be in a position to disqualify the votes of African Americans in Milwaukee. I'm not doing that. I live in this state, and you've got to be out of your mind if you think I'm going to disqualify the votes of people that have been disenfranchised for more than half of this country. That's what they're saying. I will not be considered a racist. I will not allow my children to be, shunned by their friends. It was so interesting. In almost all of the battleground states, Philadelphia had the Pennsylvania. Philadelphia, Atlanta, Detroit, Michigan, I'm sorry, Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Michigan, Detroit, all of those cities had a judge that said very interesting things. And you know what? You can't blame them. They're basically saying the relief you're requesting is unimaginable, and I'm in no position to give it.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum joining us on Wisconsin's Morning News. So the former president is expected to vote in Florida today. Now, we have had some questions on the text line and elsewhere wondering, what are the rules there? How is he able to vote given that he's a convicted felon?
Well, that case is still being appealed, right? He was convicted, but everything is still open. That's number one. Number two, he is a candidate for the presidency. People are very surprised to learn that if he were convicted and the appeal process had been exhausted and he'd be sitting in jail, he could still run for president, right? I mean, he could, in this country, the founding fathers had no problem. You could redecorate a jail cell and make it look like the Oval Office if you wanted to. And if that's what the people wanted, Eugene V. Debs, who was the head of the Socialist Party for many years, was in jail for various acts of sedition, and he was running for president. So that's number one. Number two, the issue is, you know, is he a convicted felon? You know, first of all, unappealed. Secondly, the only case in which that actually happened was the case in New York, in which the things that he did were actually misdemeanors that were elevated to felonies. So that would have been an interesting legal case. If, in fact, someone was trying to stop him from voting, they'd say, you're convicted, you've committed felonies. And he'd say, no, no, you guys did a bootstrapping where you took two misdemeanors and turned them in to felonies because I was running for office. And because of that, you called it a campaign finance violation. That would have been interesting if that would have gone to the Supreme Court, right? So, yeah, but it is a good question from your listeners. But I think that the larger question is, you know, was anyone going to stop him from voting? Because that would have resulted in another lawsuit that would have gone to the Supreme Court.
CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum, it will be interesting. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.